Welcome back to Cast Me to Hell with me, Seb.
And with me, Robbie.
And this week we return to our must-see horrors with David Cronenberg's The Fly.
Yeah, it is Jeff Goldblum, the sexual man, taking his turn as the leading man in this. The eccentric Dr. Seth Brundle and his hilarious and kooky adventures with a teleporting machine. I think that's the best way to kind of sum this film up, I think.
That's a sum up. Kind of. I mean, one thing I'd definitely say is that I actually kind of forgot when I came into it is that this is oddly kind of like actually quite a, like, almost a bit like a romance at one point. It kind of felt, for me, like for quite a big portion of the first half of the film, it was more about like Gina Davis and Jeff Goldblum like relationship developing.
I didn't realize that.
I forgot how much was actually just like that part of the story. It was actually quite refreshing to have that kind of, you know, you expect Cronenberg to be a bit weird and a bit odd with it kind of thing, but this is probably one of his most like commercial films.
Yes,
even though it is weird and it does get to weird points, yes. But in terms of like what he does, this is probably one of his most normal.
Yeah, it's relatively straight laced, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know? I just remember thinking, like, whilst watching it, it starts off, like, and straight off, Jeff Goldblum's trying to pipe. Straight off the bat.
Straight up high. But
he just goes for her. But also just how weird Gina Davis's ex-boyfriend was in this, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I always had this thing of being like, oh, the first time I watched this film, I really liked her ex-boyfriend. And I was like, oh, I felt really bad for him when he got his arms, like, broken. And I was like, fuck, he was a good guy. And then watching it back, I was like, what? How did I think that at all?
I didn't remember him at all, to be honest. I completely forgot about him. I definitely remember him being a bit problematic, so yes.
Yeah.
You were definitely going after the problematic male. You idolised that man.
I idolised
him. I must become that suit-driven executive in order to rule over women. That's how you get women, you have to rule over
them. I have a
high-power job.
Weinstein.
Yeah.
You know? Like Weinstein.
It's all Weinstein here.
Yeah, it's all Weinstein. So this was, what year was this? This was
1986.
So mid-80s, kind of. The same time, or very similar time to obviously when we got the remake of The Thing, which we have covered, if you want to go and check that out, cheap plug. But have you ever seen the original Fly?
No, I was just thinking about that, because we've never seen the original. I know the original is quite well received, obviously it's of its time, so it's has a part where a guy is dressed up like a fly. More of a literal fly than we've probably even got here, where it's kind of a... He's a fly, but he's a weird amalgamation of human and fly and, you know, Brundle fly.
Well, I've seen just a very much like a man in a suit with pretty much like a paper mache head of a fly.
A fly, you know? And then one hand is like a pincer kind
of
thing.
Yeah, I've seen that kind of...
It's a Vincent Price film, I know that, and but I know it's also quite well received. Like as a film at the time, it was quite well received, and people still critically look at it. Because when we went to look at this poster, obviously we haven't actually scratched it off.
No,
so we were assuming when we see The Fly, we're thinking the David Cronenberg one, surely more like popular. But I don't know. We could scratch off that poster, because if you don't remember, our must-see horrors, all of them are kind of, we've taken one poster and we are just working our way through it until we die.
Yeah.
Because it probably will be that long to get for us for 100 different reviews of these films. But, when we scratch that off, we might have the weird paper mache head. We've done the wrong one.
We just delete the episode.
We can do it. I mean, as I've seen how well reviewed the other one is, I'm sure at some point we'll hit the original.
Maybe one.
We'll hit some of the classic monster movies. We haven't done too many classic monster movies, to be fair.
No, we haven't. I had a thought literally a couple of days ago, like, what if we end up doing this podcast for like 30 years and we end up covering like every horror film and all we could do is like the new releases.
To be fair, have you seen the rate? I mean, it goes porn then horror for line of pumping out.
That is so true. There's a lot of pumping.
I think we'll be in good suit. I think the weirder part will be if in 30 years we're still doing it.
Maybe.
And we're doing it like last week we reviewed what film am I thinking of?
Abigail.
We did that, and then suddenly in like it would be like a cult classic, the 30th anniversary of Abigail, and we'd be like, fucking hell, we've gone on too long.
We've got to do it again.
This is the cult classic, you know what I mean? Yeah, or something even worse that could fall in line and have it. Terrible. Five Nights at Freddy's or something being deemed a classic film of our era.
Yeah,
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Well, with that, you know, please remember, do hit us a lovely subscription, and please do give us a lovely review, because that means that that gives us fuel to keep going until we are old and grey and eventually do die. One day. It might happen one day, you know? But
I don't know. Tell us your thoughts. How long can we keep going?
How long can we survive for?
If you tell us to stop now, we will stop.
Yeah, just stop, mate.
I will murder Rob.
Yeah, just kill me live. Let's on air.
End it. That'll be the ending of the show. We'll just have a gun held to each of each other's head, and you'll just hear the pull.
This is it. Yeah. yeah, so, I mean, one thing that I didn't realise was Howard Shore did the soundtrack for this.
Yeah.
And obviously, I think he did Videodrome, which is, we were talking, another David Cronenberg. I think he has done some other stuff, but obviously the big thing he's known for is Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
And I kind of forgot that, because it opens up straight away with the title credits of The Fly, and it has this very orchestral piece, very like foreboding, quite dark and quite kind of, you know, quite gloomy almost. And it definitely sets the tone for the film.
The theme feels Cronenberg like to me, even if it doesn't like because the opening, and then you've got quite a sciencey kind of, you know, that kind of science looking opening credit parts, and then it goes into the scene where it doesn't really, the opening of the film, the first part of the film, to be fair, doesn't match that theme at all.
No, you think it's going to be like a rainy night, and it's going to be like somebody running away from something.
Instead, it's like Mr. Goldblum just looking at Gina Davis and being like, damn, I want to pipe that.
He's just, he's just on the fuck.
He's just, well, he's charming in his own scientific way. He's a bit nerdy, but he's a kind of, she's looking for her story, isn't she? She's looking for that science story to make something big. And he's like, I've got a better one than any of these people here, but, you know, you'll have to come and see my pipe.
It's really weird, because it does get straight into it. You know, that he's basically like, I think within the first like 10 minutes, he's like, they're back at his weird studio flat.
Yeah, it's really it's not a long film. It's 96 minutes long, which I think is quite tight for this. Yeah, I feel like it could have been like this, someone else directed this, it would have been way longer. We've added more stuff, but I kind of like, what I also like is actually like, it literally feels like it's coming. It almost feels like you're coming in like mid conversation of something happening. You feel like you're in the middle. It's like you have to take a moment to catch up. But I actually kind of like it. It's kind of like, I feel like Cronenberg's like, there's no fat here. I didn't feel like there was much like fat to this film at all. I felt like it was pretty much like lean to the point of, we get into it, we get to the thing. You know, for some people, I probably wouldn't be as surprised if some people think some of it's too fast at times.
I could see glosses past.
Like, it gets, the Brundlefly actually happens, like, it all kind of happens rather quicker than you think. There's much more of the kind of the build-up to him making the decision, to be honest, than there is of, I think it goes on for longer, him making the decision to go into the machine, than it actually, like, fully, like, changing. You know, we have a little bit after, obviously, but when he starts to fully change, I feel like that really happens in the, like, well, the three acts are literally, to be fair, like, pretty much, like, half an hour each.
pretty much.
That's why I'm saying it's, like, it's tight, it's kind of right in there. And yeah, like you said, we get pretty much straight to them going there, her believing him, you know. Just not so, you know, I feel like the 80s, and then she gets taken to the middle of the...
It's in the middle of an industrial state.
There is even a reaction from her, a kind of, oh shit.
Yeah.
I shouldn't be here.
I've just got,
you're about to murder me. Who are you? Are you like fucking, are you the Zodiac? Are you the Strangler? I don't know. Who are you? Which murderer are you that's on the release in the 80s?
Yeah. Because it's like in the first maybe 10 minutes, he's like, they're back at his place, and he's like, I'm working on the teleporter.
Yeah.
You know, I almost expected more build up towards that,
because yeah.
Like you said, it's very much, he introduces the teleporter straight away, and then he's spending a long time saying it's not, you know, it's not ready, and then he does it, and then the change kind of does happen relatively quickly, you know?
Yeah.
And it seems like once the change happens, the film really starts to go into full throttle. You know,
yeah.
Like, he changes very quickly.
His attitude changes. See the building. And I think a really positive thing about this is that I forgot, and forgetting about it, is actually how much of this film is actually, it's not just Goldblum's film. It's kind of equal sharing with yeah. Gina Davis, and she does get a thing, and I think she's really, really good in this film. Like,
yeah.
As like that sort of, like, she doesn't feel like your classic kind of, she's not just following on from someone, and she's not like, she's not saying anything that's wrong to him. Everything she pretty much is saying is like, right. It's like, yeah. You know, you should be taking your time. You shouldn't be rushing into this. What are you doing? And all she does is kind of, in this film, is out of love for his character, for
yeah.
Seth Brundle.
the sexual man.
The sexual man. And obviously Goldblum is great in this film.
Oh,
as
he's
well.
Class.
You know, right from the beginning. And it's one of those things that you totally believe that, you know, Goldblum is this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, the same way you believe him in Jurassic Park, that he is this dude, you know, the science guy. But he, there's something about Jeff Goldblum, and I mean, he's somewhat typecast as scientist.
Yeah.
But, you know, in some ways. But you just totally buy it.
You just buy it, yeah.
Yeah. It, but this, it, but it's also the fact that, you know, although he's got a similar manner, you know, there's, Seth Brundle is not the same as Ian Malcolm, which isn't the same as, I can't remember who he plays in Independence Day, but again, he's a scientist.
He plays Jeff Goldblum.
You know what I mean? Like, that's what, yeah. like, but it's like, there is a difference, but this one, because it's early Goldblum, he's not quite in fully into those mannerisms that somewhat have defined him later
yeah,
on.
Yeah, he's got a bit of kook to him, hasn't he?
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know?
Whereas he seems a little bit more vulnerable, a little bit slightly less cocky here than he does later on, when he's pretty much always like a, yeah, I know better than
like
you.
A real,
I'm Jeff Goldblum.
I'm Jeff Goldblum. How dare you?
I can strangle you to death, and yes, you will be like, I'm Jeff Goldblum.
I just do what I want.
Yeah.
So interestingly enough, I read that they were also considering John Lithgow as the main character.
I read Michael Keaton.
Which is interesting.
Michael Keaton was also.
Because they'd both be very different films, I feel.
Well, Cronenberg wasn't the first one he was going to direct it. It was Tim Burton originally. So Tim Burton and Michael Keaton would have made sense, but John Lithgow would also work. Like, I could see him working. John Lithgow, to be fair, is a very underrated actor. He's
yeah.
very good.
Everything is great.
He does is normally great.
But I feel like either of those two kind of would have lent a different energy to the film.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, yeah, I can see Michael Keaton more than Lithgow. Lithgow seems more serious in some ways.
Yeah.
He is a comedian. He's does lots of comedic roles, and he is quite a thing. He just, I don't know. Knowing what he was like at that point, and I know John Lithgow, the only thing I can think of that's from around that time of, I think, the 80s is Santa Claus the movie that he's in, not the Tim Allen one, the much shittier one that my wife Charlotte absolutely loves. It's like a classic, and I watch it and go, this is terrible.
I mean, they're mostly shit.
Yeah, it's literally like, yeah, I'm sure there's some people cult loving that film, like, what the fuck are you talking about? He's in that, and he seemed old even for his age, so I can't imagine him seeming like the kind of younger energy that Goldblum's got here. And even Michael Keaton in the 80s, when he was Batman. So, you know what I mean? He just doesn't really match it.
Yeah.
And him, and then even the mixture with him and Gina Davis, because Gina Davis appears to be the one that was involved in these projects before even Cronenberg or thing. Like, because I noticed from the previous cancelled one that she was already part of, attached to the idea of The Fly being remade.
Yeah.
Before then they took it on for Cronenberg to then do it. So she was kind of part of a package deal, I think, to be part of this film. So she kind of got herself in there. It's like, I'm not letting go of The Fly.
And she was huge at the time as well.
Yeah, yeah, she was.
This is kind of right on her peak, maybe, or maybe just before the peak.
Yeah, I think she was 80s and 90s. Gina Davis was pretty big, and then kind of around 2000s, it's kind of sadly died down a bit.
What was that film? It was like Skull Island, or
yeah, oh yeah, she was involved in one of the biggest flops of all
time.
Yeah,
I think that kind of tanked her career a little bit, which is a shame, because
it did.
She's a good actress, and she is very beautiful. You know,
yeah, yeah.
Beautiful woman.
Obviously, yeah. I mean, Thelma Louise was huge for her, wasn't
yeah,
it? And then she
huge.
Just had loads of ones. I remember this one with, like, Samuel Jackson that she wrote, like, an action film that I just remember being played all the time. And then apart from that, I just remember being in Stuart Little in the early, like, end of the 90s.
Yeah, fuck Stuart Little. We officially hate Stuart Little on this podcast.
I like Stuart Little.
Yeah, but the character.
Oh, the
not
character.
The film. You can enjoy the film, but the character is banned from Cast Me to Hell. He is an enemy of the state, you know?
Rob's attack on Stuart Little. best.
Yeah, it's one of the top most wanted. Okay.
How could you say that? He's voiced by Michael J. Fox.
Yeah, he's fine.
You can't hate him.
No, just the character, man.
You hate the book.
I hate the book. I hate everything.
You hate any mouse. I hate any mice-based characters.
Yeah, I hate anything they stand for.
Yeah, you're coming for Disney next.
Yeah. And yet again, the thing that made me... I don't know how I forgot this, but going back to... Because a big crux of it, like you did say, is this kind of romance film, yeah, which is in there. And I guess maybe that goes back to it being kind of like a 50s film, you know, which did have a bit more romance in it when it came to horror, for instance. And I forgot that you get this kind of like love triangle between Mr. Jeff Goldblum and Gina Davis, and then her ex, who is also her boss. Yeah. And her ex, like, I literally put in, you know, her boss's friend.
Stathis Bohrans? I can't remember how it's pronounced in the film, the Bohrans, but yeah.
But yeah, but he like, keeps a key for her apartment, and, like, she comes back home, and he's fucking waiting there.
Dude's proper fucking stalker, level.
He is, isn't he?
He's really fucking weird. I mean, even like love triangle, because no one wants part of it. It's more an invasion love triangle where he's forcing his way into them.
It's like that thing where it's like
literally while they're asleep, he's forcing his way into
them. It's that thing where two people have consented, and then it's like, is it sex? And it's like, well, Jesus hasn't consented. And that's like Gina Davis and Seth Brundle have consented, but he hasn't.
Yeah, I was gonna say it literally like an obsession coming in there. It's basically like if me or you got obsessed and basically Dora tried to be the third wheel in one of our marriages.
I mean, I am in yours. Yeah.
You're completely involved. That's what I mean. There you are. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
But to the level of like, yeah, I'm not going anywhere. I'm just going to sit and watch you sleep.
Yeah.
It's the things that he does. He's controlling. He kind of plays with the idea of a job and,
yeah,
you know, whether she can do that. But then he turns it around on her, and then he sells the idea of the story when she... You know, because a major part of that is that she starts to say to Goldblum, "You've got to let me have this. You've got to let me go on record." And he's like, "You can't do that." And that if she sells, you know, if she sells this one story that she's got, it's one story that's kind of been and gone, and he'll be a celebrity for him, yeah, what he's done, but not in a good way, like because it's not ready. But she could be the book. She could write a book for it, kind of thing. But he tries to fuck it over. The edit, like he fucks her over every turn. Basically, well, he tries to fuck the relationship at every turn.
Well, they, you know, when they first meet, he tells her all about the teleporter, and Gina Davis is like, "Great, I'm a reporter. Obviously, I'm going to say this."
Yeah.
Jeff Goldblum says, "Like, don't, please, don't do it. It'll ruin it. Like, all the investors will want to know and everything." And then she goes to her bell end boss, and he's like, "There isn't a story here." And then I think, like...
It's weird, because she seems to be aware that he's a bit of an asshole, because she kind of acts like he's a bit of a dick.
Yeah.
She kind of acts a bit like she doesn't really like him totally. And yet, at the same time, she constantly goes to him for, like, advice. Like, it's like, that's the one part. It's like she's still caught, stuck on that chain. You know what I mean?
It's the blurred lines of him manipulating her, being her boss, and then her ex, and also just... Like, randomly, like even when he has her key, he, like, doesn't give it back to her, and he's like, "I'll keep on to it in case I need to, like, make sure you're okay." And then one minute, he's, like, saying the article, you know, "You can't take the article off."
Yeah.
And she's saying, "Is it because, like, I've started a relationship with this guy?" He's like, "No, like, I'm your boss, there's no article." And then as soon as she officially starts, like, fucking him... And she's getting piped by Jeff Goldblum, and she's like, "I'm gonna write this book about him, and we're not publishing it. We're just gonna document it,
yeah.
And it's ready." Then he's like, "No, you've given me the story. I'm publishing
it's my story. It's so my story.
So he's constantly fucking like toying with her, you know.
She still keeps going back to him for advice. It's one of those weird. It's a toxic relationship we've got going on here.
I literally like. Don't know how I thought the boss was like completely different. How I thought the boss was a good guy the first time I watched it.
I feel like you could easily just miss like the parts of him or kind of switch off maybe when he's around or things like that.
I just literally looked when it was like, "He has her key. I'll keep an eye on you." Oh, he's being a friend.
Yeah.
And then like,
he's being lovely.
Yeah.
How nice is that? You literally switched off between like, "I want you to publish this story." Okay. And then you came back later. I'm now going to publish this story, but you missed the context. Yeah, of any
he's
of the
supportive.
Rest of
he's really nice.
He's been helping her. He's been doing it. It's like you missed all of the bits in between. Where it's like I'm writing a book. No, I'm just telling the story.
No, I'm doing it.
I like you doing the story he's for her. How nice is this?
What
guy?
A lovely man.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, that's the fit. There's a lot of these. A lot of the stuff with the boss that I completely forgot about.
Yeah.
And then there's just a lot of nice like moments, you know, where he's like. You just get, kind of get little montage-y kind of moments in a way, like a, not to like
Rocky
music,
level.
But to like, you know, as he's like testing and practicing things, and obviously we have a couple of the gross scenes because we have like the baboon that gets
literally
completely evaporated to like a bubbling kind of mess of disgusting,
like turned inside out.
Yeah, you get like the skeleton kind of pop out kind of thing, and it's proper. Body horror, as Cronenberg's known for, you know, it's got some proper gross like that happens with that. Is it both the chimp and also we get? I think do we get a goat at one point or something like that?
No, I think it's
the goat. Okay, is it a goat or sheep? Well, there's some animal that goes in there, isn't there? Is it always monkeys?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's always monkeys.
It's really weird the idea that have all the animals that you'd be like, yeah, that's cool to test. It's monkeys. Like they're just.
Well, I guess
they seem more expensive in my mind.
They are, but I guess the as. They're you know, closer to a human than a dog.
They're trying to match us,
yeah.
He goes in just because the goat worked. Or
he's
the
like,
dog
the goat worked. It's a machine that only teleports goats.
Yeah, because the problem is it's only, what is it? Yeah, he can only get it at that point early in the film. He can only get it to do things like her tights that she's getting through. It's only doing those, but it won't take the human back. It can't work out something to do with the DNA of the human. And he's kind of realizing with her that actually it might be the wrong way around. Like he's looking at it the wrong way around, kind of thing. He's trying to get it to match it instead of like recreating it in that kind of way, which is part of the problem that then comes when we get to the point when he is kind of, I can do this kind of thing. He keeps thinking he should. He keeps thinking he should give it a try, and he's been wondering that pretty much. From the beginning, literally early on, you can see how badly he kind of wants to jump in it and show. So he understands that obviously to make living tissue and teleports the second baboon, which actually survives.
Yeah.
So, but it's that nice little romance I think that builds throughout that I found quite refreshing. That it's kind of, we really do get to see these characters bond, which is so important for what happens later. So even when it does speed up, when he starts changing and you get less of that bond, you know why she is kind of falling like completely into him. You know?
Yeah.
There's a bond there, there's a love there that kind of holds it together. And if this part had been glossed over, it wouldn't work in the same way, because you'd be like, why the fuck is Gina Davis hanging around? He just pipes him on the lats.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? His skin is falling. His skin looks fucking awful.
His skin looks rotten.
It like fucking rotten. So why the fuck is she standing around?
And we went back to an episode that we did kind of around the start of March, which was In Memoriam, Sexual Men We Didn't Want to Die. I'm pretty sure you mentioned Brundlefly.
Not the Brundlefly part, the Goldblum part.
But it,
when he's Seth, not
he's
Brundlefly.
Seth, but all of this creates that, like, because it's when you think about it, it's a kind of a tragic film, you know?
This is like in there with American Werewolf in London or something.
Yeah.
Like it's got an arc that is sadly mainly just tragedy. There's not much happiness that comes out of any of this.
No, nobody really walks away from this, you know, unhurt.
Fine. I mean, Dean Davis walks away a little maggot.
Yeah, she walks away a little maggot. Not just Seth Goldblum.
Yeah.
Seth Goldblum mixing the two.
Seth Goldblum.
Yeah, I don't know. Jeff Goldblum would be hung anyway. But it's that thing. It almost takes that, like, vibe that the 1950s film had, you know, of being... And that era of sci-fi of being, like, man and science pushing itself as far as it can.
Yeah.
But I feel like you haven't watched the original one of The Fly, but I know a lot of those and of that time, they focused on the themes, but they didn't quite have the tragedy to them, I don't think. Whereas this leans into
they wouldn't go as dark after.
No.
Some of the better ones I have seen are when they actually went a bit ahead of their time and went, we're going to embrace the darkness, but they quite often wouldn't. Although I guess one thing that does link is the they would always focus on the romance. There's always a romance back in those movies. There is. So that's why this one is always a broad, isn't there? This I think pushes the body horror aspect. Yeah, I'd be like, but I think this one still feels like it stays quite like close to that kind of what that classic style of like a man and a woman fighting against something that they can't control. But I don't know what the ending of the original is. I can't imagine it being like that. Yeah, I can't imagine it's this. Shotgun to the head.
He's just fucking shotgun to the head.
I can't imagine those things. I can't imagine it at the time. I mean, but
only a communist would do that.
I didn't look it up because I was like, I'll be surprised. I'll probably wait for a surprise when I watch it because I probably will watch it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to Google it.
But I know that at the same time, also, you know, and I haven't seen many Vincent Price horrors either because I always thought his were sometimes deemed as like really creepy and sometimes deemed as really cheesy. So and The Fly seems like one that would fall realistically in your head. You go, that must fall surely more in the cheesy than the creepy kind of thing. But you never know. I don't know how they do the style of it.
I learned from The Birds, you know. I think The Birds opened my eyes too. Yeah. A lot of those old horrors not having to be quite so like...
Oh yeah, cheesy, that's what I mean. You know? Some of them do, and some of them do actually have way more depth and darkness, and people do undersell like how good these ones are. Although at the same time that was Hitchcock, and Hitchcock's a different level on that.
Because another thing that I want to say before we kind of get to that where he goes for the transformation,
is you get
another quite like scene that shows that developing relationship when they're doing the stakes, you know.
He
teleports one, and it tastes like absolute like dog shit. And then she eats like one that hasn't been teleported, and it leads him to believe to understand like it's I think it's like replicating it instead of like or synthesizing it instead of like doing what, reconstructing it. So he kind of cracks it, and then Gina Davis goes off to confront Stathis about him publishing it.
Yeah,
and Jeff Goldblum gets drunk and is like, she's crawled back for pipe.
Yeah.
And that's when he's like, I'll show her, I'll teleport. I'll show her, I'll teleport from one side of the room to the next.
Yeah, and the part of this is I think, there's somewhat a tragic... The tragedy is right from there.
Yeah.
Because it's that thing of you're like, why are you doing it? The mistake he makes when he just decides... one, it's his driven. He's too driven to get this right. He's got an idea. He thinks he's going to change the world, and he becomes his own worst enemy by letting it drive him. But also, he lets his own worst enemy, because for a while, although he was doing it, there is a kind of point when it seems like, although he's obviously, he's constantly like thinking about it, and he doesn't seem quite as like full on as he did at the very beginning. She has calmed him a little bit. Like, he can see like the worth of it, and she's kind of helping his muse, helping with that kind of helping that thing for him. So the tragedy here is the fact that he does it in such a kind of a stupid act of drunkenness, a stupid act of revenge, because he thinks she's doing something. It's like he thinks he may be losing her kind of thing.
Yeah,
when that's the complete opposite of
the desperation.
Actually trying to fight to like help him. Kind of thing. And just that one, it's just the minuscule thing of that one housefly. That one housefly that you wouldn't even notice, and you probably wouldn't see. I say that. Houseflies can be fucking annoying.
Yeah.
When you get the full-on one that's just buzzing around, and you're like, for fuck's sake, what the hell? Like,
we had a massive one in our bedroom, like, a week ago, and Carrie was trying to get it. My cat.
My dog Mia tries to get it as well. I'm running around, like, she looks proper, like, when she like jumps in the air to try and catch it and thinks she's got it, and she's like, didn't. She then like goes down like, I have failed you, Mother. I failed you. She like goes into a proper like depressed mode, like, God, and now the fly is flying around my head and it is taunting me.
Carrie just wouldn't stop. And then I was in bed reading, had my glasses off, and Anna was like, can you get the fly? And I was like, I don't have my glasses on. I can't even see the fly. How am I going to do this? So I had to try and best it, and in the end, In the end, it was okay, but we spent like 20 minutes. And
that's
me
how
Carrie.
That's how Rob killed his wife.
Long story short, that's how I killed my wife.
Oh, he thought he was swatting the fly, but he couldn't see.
Should have gone to specs, you know. Now I have heard.
This is cast me to hell. One of us is in prison currently.
This is the visiting house.
Yeah, you don't get that in prison. He's on the run.
I'm on the run. Yeah. I think this is like 40 minutes into the film as well.
Yeah,
and you're right, it's kind of the halfway mark.
Yeah, you've got, you know? That's what I mean. It's the right thing to do, and it shows that Cronenberg is not just purely about that. He does have a good sense of kind of character and stuff like that.
And pacing as well.
Yeah, he does. He's not a director, I think, that does overdo it, and he does have a good idea. And if you look at films he's done later and more recently, he's still done weird ones, but he's also done things like A History of Violence, which was a really big character study, Viggo Mortensen, you know, so he does a range of things, and he's not just bottled down to basically Videodrome or Scanners, you know what I mean, like, which are a bit more weird, a bit more full on sci-fi, a bit more, or the other one I said, which is Breeders, or is it Breeders? Is it Breeders? The Breeders.
Some weird film that you've been watching.
I watched the knockoff porn version.
The knockoff porn version, Breeders.
Yeah, The Brood, which are all, you know, very odd, very like, you know. But again, they do normally have quite a focus on the characters driving the story instead of it just being about big events happening kind of thing.
Yeah.
So he's always been a character-based one. But yeah, it's just interesting in this film, I think, where it felt like it was a bit more commercial to be like the fact that in the middle of the film you expect to be a big old body horror where he could push this to the limits of body, and he does when he gets to but you know, it's when you see this like smaller story playing out in what you're expecting to be this big story about the fly and lots of people, you know, and I could have seen lots of other people directing it and doing a very different thing with it, you know, very much more, you know, straightforward, whereas really he never really truly becomes like the full fly thing until very near the end of the film, and then it's not seen as like oh my god, the monster, it's seen as oh, you poor thing, you know what I mean, so you just feel bad for him, like he's not this terrifying monster, whereas someone else could have made this and gone Rob Zombie's the fly, you know, he's going around killing white trash,
yeah,
and his literal fly that just runs around the town and just bangs people,
it just
rapes
fucks people, yeah. And he's played by Tyler Mayne, and
of
his
course.
Wife said it.
Of course.
Go back to like the thing about it being very character driven is, a lot of the times people think about The Thing, obviously kind of a similar-ish film where it's it's obviously pushing the limits of body horror, it's adapting a 50s story and basically putting a very modern, updated at the time angle on it. And a lot of the times people talk about the Thing being very small and intimate in its cast, but actually I probably think that this does have a smaller cast, because you only really kind of named characters and characters who talk, you only really get the main three, so you know, Jeff Goldblum, Gina Davis and Stathis, and then you get the woman that he shags at the bar, and I think you get like the dude who he arm wrestles with, but you don't.
Yeah, that's
it's
what I mean.
Not
you get
like
the people,
a massive
like, bar
cast.
People. Like he doesn't. Yeah,
you get, like,
you don't
a
actually,
background.
You don't actually step out of his, basically his home, his lab that often.
There's very
few scenes that are outside of his apartment.
Apparently, the cast list is seven. You know?
Yeah, that's what I mean. It is, but it's also this is like this is a remake, and you know, I haven't seen the original, but you know, like The Thing, this definitely is deemed as one of the, you know, best remakes that's ever been made, alongside The Thing, which is often deemed the best remake, I think, that was made, because it, you know, but this one I believe is somewhat closer to the original, whereas The Thing was not really that close to the original.
It's kind of
its own reimagining, and that's why it's so good. And that's normally when remakes are good, though, when they're their own reimagining and their own style, and you've got a director like this who is taking his own vision for it and not just going, I'm going to do this. And it's why I'm glad that Cronenberg did it, and to be honest, why I'm glad that Tim Burton didn't do it.
Yeah.
Because Tim Burton has a style, absolutely, but he sometimes does kind of stick very closely to what he saw or what was before, and sometimes it's too much.
Yeah.
He doesn't fully take his own way. Tim Burton's the best when he takes it his own vision, but, you know, in the last however long, you know, for a long time he didn't. Maybe in the 80s he would have nailed this.
Maybe yeah.
You know, but, you know, more recent Tim Burton, and sometimes he leans too much into the kookiness.
Yeah.
And too much into, like, oh, but this worked so well in the original. It's like, yeah, but it doesn't work now.
Yeah.
Or making it really fucking weird, like, you know, no one will get over Johnny Depp's Willy Wonka. It's, it haunts your dreams.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, they just think, his children say, is he coming to diddle me?
Yeah, is he coming? Is he coming to diddle me?
Is he coming soon? You know? Which coming. Is weird, because to be fair, I liked the new one, but Chamolet looked more like that one than he did like Gene Wilder's.
Yeah.
But he wasn't as creepy.
It wasn't creepy or diddly. Yeah. In fact, he looked like he would be diddled himself, you know. He wasn't the age of diddling from what I saw.
So, into the transformation. Yeah. So, obviously, you know, the transformation itself is nothing like, you know, again, he goes through that, and I guess if you were watching this the first lot of time and had no idea, like, oh my god, there was a fly. Is it going to come out like a giant bulbous fly head? Or
like the Simpsons.
You know, that, or the original. Like the original. You're expecting this giant, which... Again, it is such a... This is what makes this reimagined part so good.
Yes.
Is the fact that it is more about a gene splicing and the fact that your body starts to... The body horror of what Cronenberg's great at. Instead of... This is what I mean. If someone had gone... I think, like I just said, Tim Burton would have tried for the head. He would have tried for the weird fly head. Yeah, alive. You know, I think certain directors would have gone, oh yeah, we can make that look good. I don't think you can. I don't think you can make a giant fly hood look good. By the end of this, he's still not like... He is, but he's like this weird, you know,
he's like
humanoid kind of fly thing. He's not trying to be a big fly head that's kind of roaming around and licking its lips and, you know.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, it just... That just wouldn't translate well into live action. And, you know, that's the only thing that holds me back with the original one is the fact that I feel like it would take me out of it. Every time I look at that fly head, would be like...
That's paper mache.
Yeah, that's what that is. You know, it's just not, you know, to modern ours. Back then, I'm sure a paper mache fly head was the most terrifying thing.
Oh my god, it's real.
Oh my god.
People probably just killed themselves in the cinema.
Yeah.
I can't watch this. Snap their necks. It's
just like... The most terrifying. Like, somehow his tongue sticks out. I'm like, Jesus Christ, it's real.
Jesus, kill me.
He's alive.
He's a fan, he just runs. And he just gets a fork and puts it like a toaster and just dies on. He's just like, there's just some people who can't do it. You know, it's like, yeah. Oh my god, it's terrifying.
But instead we get this... Yeah, instead,
like slow burn.
Yeah, we get this nice slow burn. When he comes out, he's completely normal.
If anything, when he comes out, it's a relatively kind of like attractive process in a way. Because he comes out, and he comes out like the fucking Terminator.
At first, you know, his body's building, isn't
it? He's fucking hench. He's confident. He's scranning loads of sugar, which isn't great for you.
Yeah.
But he's doing like loads of like... He's doing like... some weird like handstand on some chair.
Oh yeah, he does like a whole handstand flip, and then he grabs another thing, which I believe was Goldblum that did all that shit.
That wouldn't surprise me.
Goldblum, he just, yeah, because he's quite an athletic dude.
Wouldn't surprise me if he spliced with a fly.
He got fully into character.
It's just a documentary.
The one bit I love is the early tease. So at first he's like virile, he's like fucking Gina Davis for like
he's
a whole
just
day.
Pounding.
Just not like they're just like there, like to the point where she... I gotta be honest, she looks a little bit like she's like, I am done. Like,
yeah.
I've been done for like 2 days.
Yeah, I've just been done.
Like, you're just pounding nothing. I've got no nerves left
you're
down
just
there.
Mashing
you're
it.
Just mashing it, you know what I mean? Just mashing it up. And he's just like, no, I need more. Like, he's like virile, like a fly, which I didn't know a fly was that virile.
Well,
they're just like, fuck it. But
they only live for like...
Yeah, that's what I mean.
They just got to
fit all your fucking in. So that's why I'm saying it's not a good test audience. Because, yeah, if I've only got 24 hours, then I'm fucking... You know what I mean? But at the same time, if you live longer period of time, like Goldblum,
you spread
then,
it
then,
out.
You know, then do you have that same vote? Yeah, but...
Just imagine somebody being like, oh, you got 3 days to live. He's like, I gotta fuck.
Yeah.
I
mean, the lines are getting blurred at that point. How much or how that's happening, you know.
but it's
the hairs.
It's the hairs.
The first thing, and I really love that. That this is what I mean. Like, I really love that it is this slow build and it is these like minimal touches. But like her first notice, these hairs that are just like at first they look like just kind of standard at first.
Yeah.
But then, like, when Gina Davis touched them, and you notice that they basically, like, are, like, plastic level of, like, hard. You know what I mean? Like, they're kind of flinging, flexible. Yeah. You know, like, that little bit. So she's, like, bristly. And then when she cuts them, and she's literally like, this won't cut through. It, like, needs to be harder. It's just, like, literally cut. It's like, at that point, you're like, Jesus Christ, he needs to go to a doctor already.
And the way, like, he's like, when you're cutting them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's weird, but I feel like I felt that, that cut. You know what I mean? Like, that proper, like, the way it breaks off, like, it's like, oh, fucking hell. Like, that's, you know, it's got its own little, that's its own little blur in its way. And that's just the first little
thing. It's the lead up, isn't it? It's the like, the tint that something's going on.
Yeah.
It's like, ooh.
I mean, once Gina Davis has kind of dried out, once she's, like, literally raw forever, and once he's kind of like, but I need more, and I need more, and then she's not going with it, and she's like, oh, well, stop, you know, I need to do more of this, and you need to go in the machine.
You need to go in, I feel so good, you need to fucking teleport.
And maybe she would have felt good, you know, without the thing, but, you know, without a fly inside there, she would have been perfectly fine, and this would still be an amazing invention that would go on to save the world or whatever the hell teleporting.
I mean, he'd still have to become a fly, wouldn't he?
I mean, he'd be stuck either way because he's still the fly. There's no way to splice back. He needed to work out how to take that DNA away, but apparently no.
Yeah,
it happens too quick for him. And that's the thing. I think, even though it feels long, the process I don't think is that long, really, of him slowly deteriorating.
No,
but she's away from him for a while, enough that she misses him and is coming back. So
because she goes because he's insisting she gets in the pod.
Yeah,
and then she goes, and then Jeff Goldblum's like, "Fuck it, I'll find somebody who will do it." And that's when he's walking around without a shirt on and a leather jacket,
but
and his face starts to get worse.
Yeah, he's got all these blood. This is the part when you start, like, literally when he goes into that bar.
Oh,
and he's like straight up to the lass, and
he's like, "Let's fuck."
Some hillbilly guy is like, "Yeah, let's fuck." And she's like, "I'm here. I'm that guy." And he's like, "Well, I can fucking kill him.
I can kill him. Thank you.
I can take
him." It's real weird.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. He's like completely confident, but at the same time, you look at his face and you're like, I mean, you're Jeff Goldblum, and you're still somewhat good looking ish here. But your face looks fucking rank.
He looks rank.
Your skin looks like it's starting to bubble. Your skin is bubbling.
You're sweaty as fuck.
I feel like,
hair greasy as hell.
And I feel like that lass should be a bit like, I really don't want to go with you.
Yeah.
You know, and there is a little bit of a somewhat like, I'm not going with you, but he drags her out.
He just drags her off and starts pounding.
Yeah, no, there's a little bit there of a king, but at the same time, he is mutating into a fly. So his brain is no longer he's no longer quite the Seth Brundle we once knew.
Yeah.
But this gives us the fucking awesome. This is the one scene. So I remember saying that I'd seen this like on like Channel 5 when I was a kid, and this was the one scene I remember turning on the TV. I didn't know what I was really watching.
Yeah.
Dude just like in a bar who looks like a sweaty mess who's getting glasses, you know.
Yeah.
He's my idol now.
He's my idol, sweaty bar.
A young boy kind of like, that's how I get ladies.
I need to deform
my skin, get myself a leather jacket and get a hairy chest and then just put full on sweat. Have a full on like 2-hour workout. Run like a mile.
And then break
then
a man's
arm. The lasses would just want my bare sweaty smell.
It's that natural pheromone.
Yeah,
you know?
It's burning off in your sinuses. You'll love it.
And then break a man's arm.
Yeah. That's what you do too. But yeah, this is the one scene I remember being like, holy shit, what the fuck? I was like, this is like cool, but fucking hell. Like, it's just that. I think it's because they get into that and you're like, okay, but we don't quite, we know that he's flexible as fuck and stuff like that, but we don't know he's like
don't know
really
how
strong.
Yeah.
Although he is, I think he does lift some at one point. It's like, he's just lifting it up kind of thing. Like, he has got some good strength to him, but it's just the level of which his arm breaks. The snap. The full-on bone tendon squirt splat. Like, his arm completely
just cracks
and rips. And it's like, fucking hell. It's such good body horror, again. But it's brutal.
Yeah, it's horrid, man.
But again, it's also why, you know, he just did that to him. And suddenly, he's like, and I win. Right, lass, come on, drag you out. And at that point, you'd be thinking that she would, one, try and fight back and get away. Because, one, she should already be worrying because he looks like...
He looks like shit.
Yeah, he looks like a gnar bread.
He looks like you're really...
And he's already dragging her out. And she just saw that what happened to his arm. So what the fuck... Like, what the fuck does she think is going to happen to her? You know what I mean? If she's down for sex, I mean, fucking hell. Like, what is going to happen?
And he just raw dogs, man. That's the first time I ever watched this film.
Does it show the sex? I didn't think it did. I thought it just showed it the day after. Did I miss
it? It shows the day after, but it implies raw dogs.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, she's just... Yeah.
Because I remember thinking, like... When I just remember thinking, fuck, she's walking around with the fly baby in her, like 100%.
Yeah.
You know, even after just one.
Yeah, of course, all that. Yeah.
And then
the fly sperm can't contain no condom.
They just go straight through. Yeah. And he just, you just like Gina Davis comes back, just sees he's been pounding this random girl. And then she's just goes, and you never see her again. And I was thinking, like, fuck me. That's so weird.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's because, yeah, she comes back in. Isn't this where it gets the classic line, be afraid, be very afraid, which is quite, no, like, a well-known line, obviously.
I don't remember actually hearing it.
I think that's when she goes in and she says to the girl, because she says, you need to get out of here, and it's like, you should be very afraid, kind of thing. I think that's
what it is.
I think that's what it says. It, but that is, like, obviously, a well-used phrase that became, like, beyond it. But a lot of people forget that actually came... People think it came from something else, but it actually... People think it's from the original. Like, it sounds like a Vincent Price line. Like,
it does,
be very afraid, but it actually originated in this film. But even though it's been used in loads of different films, loads of different things, this was the original content for that line, which is quite classic kind of thing. But when she says it, she literally pops in at the perfect time, because the lass is, like, about to be forced into the... Because he tries to get her in there as well.
He tries
to get the bar lass into the pod as well, and she's like, that's weird, like, what is this thing, like, get me away from it, I can smell dead baboon.
It's still dead baboon.
He's like, I don't need to clean out the exit, I just, as long as the entrance
is the one I need to focus on,
so he's just like, fucking hell, there's still a dead baboon corpse. There's a
fucking rotten baboon in there.
Yeah,
what's this man doing? This strange nan friend looking
and,
man.
And this is when he's being, you know, he's being really, you know, like he was taking her out of the bar, he's being properly forceful
and
pulling against her. And Gina Davis is there to be, you know, to get her out of there and then be like, there's something wrong with you and you're not realizing it. And she's trying to tell him, and he's obviously not accepting it. You know, he's like, I'm the best I've ever been. You know, if you look in the mirror. And
the golden god.
Yeah.
And he starts clouting, like, the wooden beams, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He starts punching.
Yeah, that's when the strength comes. Like, he's literally like, I can fucking put my fist through this. I am a god.
He is the golden god, you know?
Yeah, again, I have the strength of a fly.
If a fly was a man.
I mean, as a man.
Yeah.
I have the strength of a fly.
I have the strength
of a fly. You can't do shit, mate.
You can't pick anything up.
I have wings. Where are your wings? They're at a centimetre size on my back.
Yeah.
I can fly these wings.
He just dies a day later.
I also think, because, you know, this is 80s, and this is one of Cronenberg's, like, earlier, bigger, like, his biggest kind of commercial film I think he'd done at this point. I think he also... I keep thinking about the restraint, because I keep thinking of how fucking weird Cronenberg could have gone with some of this shit.
Yeah, I wonder how he wanted to go.
Like, yeah, it does make me think, like, how much extra could have gone, you know what I mean? Like, banging some lass and, you know, it's not sperm that comes out, it's maggots.
So fucking gross.
But that sounds like a Cronenberg thing to do, like fucking maggot.
Yeah.
You know, like, maggots out your dick. Like, that sounds
It does, doesn't it?
10 years earlier, he would have totally done that.
Yeah.
That would have been Cronenberg.
But you already get some fucking gross stuff, like when his nails start coming out. And there's there's like.
He goes fully there once you get to that point.
Juice and stuff like that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. All the, you know, fucking the spurt in, like, the boils on the skin that, like, you get, like, a bursting one at some point. And it literally, you know, literally, it's disgusting. Like, the
fucking
nails is always a fucking thing for a lot of people. Nails is pulling off nails, like, you know, when I see someone who's like, I did this run and my nail just came off, I was like, fuck, what?
Yeah, it's fucking
they
right.
Don't, like, they're like, oh, it's alright, it happens all the time, I run all the time. Then fucking stop, like, your nail shouldn't be coming off, it's a bad sign.
Oh, that's fucking wrong. I then when I was young.
If I had to peel my nail off, like, fuck it, and then just, surely it's underneath, it's just exposed nerve. It's like,
fucking rotten. Yeah. I remember when I was young, I was skateboarding, and I was lying on my stomach doing it, like just rolling around the ground for some reason, and I went under my nail as I went, as I kind of like went against the concrete, and I almost like ripped my nail off.
Yeah,
and oh, it's fucking rotten. So that scene just real got to me.
It just, I don't know what it is about those, but there are just something, you know, when they're like saying certain things that they do to you, and I, like if they're torturing you or something like that.
Nails.
And that's like things like that. There are lots of things I think, oh, maybe, you know, it'll be fucking disgusting, horrible.
Yeah.
Even like, even to be honest, the idea of them, it'll be fucking horrible, yanking out my teeth, doesn't affect me as badly as the idea of suddenly going, oh, we're going to take this nail. Idea of getting plies and going, we're going to yank these nails out. It's like, yeah, at this point, yeah, you got it. You've got half my family. He caged up and you're going to kill him if you don't rip. If I don't tell you what you want to know. Ah, fuck it. I'm telling you.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
This is where to find them.
This is where kill him.
Kill him all.
Just leave my nails.
Just leave my nails alone.
And then, because I can't remember if there is a point where, I think it's after... he, you know, after he's shagging that woman, where she kind of goes, that's when the fingers are falling off, is when he types into the computer like, what the fuck's going on, and it says him. That there's two things in there, and he's like, if A's set Brundle, what's B? And then it says that it's like a fly.
Yeah.
And that's when he realizes. But there's a point where she disappears, and then when she comes back, he's really gone down, you know, when he's like, he's walking on the stick on like the crutches, and I thought he looked like something from Dawn of the Dead, you know.
Well, he starts having things like that because, well, yeah, she comes back and he's proper, he's skinny, his parts, you can see bits of his body are missing, even some of his skin is missing.
Yeah.
And then, because that's the scene when she walks in and his ear
With the donut.
Yeah.
That's what, he's like, fucking sick on it, and then
his ear falls. Yeah, and he's like, she's just like, oh my fucking, like, it's gone from like, you look bad, to fuck, like
something
bad. How
are
you even alive happening at this point? Like, she's literally there like, Jesus fucking Christ, what? Like, I can't even look at you. You're that disgusting.
That's so wrong.
I think I saw that even Gina Davis was like, most of it didn't disgust me, but that scene where his ear fell off, like, into his hand and like just slides off, like, here you go.
Yeah, it's the vomit.
He puts it in
the
donut, he keeps it all in his little box as well. He has a little box that he puts all of his
fallen off stuff.
I can put that back on
my head. Yeah, I put my balls in there. Would you have hugged him? Because there's a point, this is what I put in my notes as a question, because there's a point where he, you know, he's sick on the donut and then his ear falls off, and when she's like about to go, he's like, he asks for a hug.
I mean, no, fuck no. I didn't know, like, you'd be wondering if he had some kind of fucking skin flesh eating disease or something. You'd be like, at this point, you would have rung the GP. You know what I mean? Yeah, just got on the line. Yeah. Wait a couple of hours. They'll get back to you on the phone.
And you know the receptionist will be like, well, what is it? He's mutated into a fly. Yeah, that's not a GP matter.
Yeah, call 111, mate.
Call 111.
That's not an emergency.
That's not an emergency. I'll give you an appointment in like 6 weeks.
We can do a Zoom call.
We can do a Zoom call. Yeah. Well, we'll give you some fucking penicillin.
Yeah. Ah, no, you don't want prescription drugs. That's overdoing it.
That's what we're doing. Yeah.
Just take some paracetamol and have a little rest.
Take some paracetamol, and if it's worse, cool.
Do you want us to sign you off work for 2 weeks?
Yeah.
That solves all your problems.
Yeah. But then, because he's also like scuttling around the walls at that point, which is real fucking cool as well, you know? And that's when he calls himself the Brundlefly, you know?
Yeah.
That's kind of like the official point of him. Not the point of no return, because that is going in there. But that's the point of him almost like becoming detached from Seth Brundle, no longer identifying with that man and actually being like, mate, I am a fucking fly boy now, you know.
Yeah,
and he's losing all of his reason, his kind of compassion, anything like that, you know.
Yeah, I mean the effects are made. I believe this film won an Oscar for that. It won an Oscar for the Chris Wallace and Stephen Dupress win the Oscar for makeup for The Fly.
I'm not surprised, man. It's incredible.
Yeah, it's, I think it's probably the only area they won anything for, but it's fucking, you know, you know, this is all practical, you know, and it's, you know, that the way he looks and the way it's still thing. And to be honest, there's even when we get down to the final, you know, the Brundle-less and Brundle flies,
yeah,
at the very end when he's that humanoid, the progression looks like how thin he looks in that one scene when she walks back into the apartment. He looks fucking bones, and you look at it and go, how the fuck did they make, you know, he's a slender guy, but dude's also got fucking muscle.
Yeah.
And somehow they've made him look so goddamn thin practically. Like, it's, I looked insane at that, I was like, how did you do that? Like, that is, I know there are amazing things, like we talk about other ones, like The Thing or whatever, being like, fucking hell, how did you do that body scene? That's amazing. Like, still hold, like, holds up today. I'm not saying you don't think, but it holds up in the way that it's like, it still looks fucking amazing effect. Like, you still think, how did they do that? But honestly, that making him look so goddamn thin and lifeless, like, and losing it and his body parts connected, but him looking so inhuman, but it's still, at this point, still Goldblum underneath the makeup. Yeah, you know what I mean? It's insane, just like, man. Jesus, how have you done that? All the way down until he is just like that little walking stick of a, like, nothing left man. And you're just like, how have they made you look so good?
Yeah.
You know, the effects here, because, you know, this is, nowadays you'd be like, oh, they've just CGI'd around it and your things. But then it was like, Jesus, you really, it's incredible. Definitely deserve that Oscar. But this is also around the time that she finds out, is it Veronica? We've just been saying Gina Davis.
Gina Davis.
But anyway, Gina Davis finds out that
she is with child. I had my notes says she is with child.
And that's when she goes back to, but she also goes back to her dirty Weinstein-y boss.
Yeah, her dirty Weinstein.
To be like, I need help. He's, you know, he needs help. You need to help him.
Which, you know how to get an abortion.
He takes us away to, and somewhat he also takes that as an opportunity to be like, we can sell it. Oh, he's got this machine. We need everything that he's got, kind of thing. But also, I'll help you get rid of the bastard seed.
Oh, that dream that she has is so horrid.
Yeah. Oh,
it's fucking gross, man.
Yeah, that's a proper. I think for some people, that would be a proper, like, it's terrifying one to watch. The, you know, the birthing.
It is for me. Birthing is still something that I just real gets.
He doesn't know how it works yet.
I don't know how it works.
You don't know how.
I don't know how she ended up pregnant. You know, and I don't know where the maggot came from, but I didn't like it. It scared me. You know.
Like, yeah, surely that maggot should be dropped off by a stork.
There was no stork in this scene. You know?
Very disappointing. Confusing.
Not like they told me. You know, it's all weird. But this scene's so gross. It proper gets me, like, cringing just watching it, you know?
And that anxiety is really nicely sold, you know what I mean? Because, again, this is why I said it's kind of an equal billing, in a way, for Gina Davis alongside Jeff Goldblum, because although he somewhat takes... He's normally alongside him earlier on in the film, and you could also say this is mainly her perspective, more than his perspective. But obviously we do get some scenes of just him where she's not there, and so it's not just, like, only her view of it. But these parts, obviously, when he's at this full-on Brundle flight, there's not a lot he can really do, so you have to focus more on her story for a while. And, you know, this kind of freaking out, and then, obviously, that's when, you know, when they have that visit, and kind of he overhears, doesn't he? He goes after them, kind of thing. He knows that she's pregnant, and he starts to kind of, his brain, obviously not working the way it is, starts to think, oh, but that is my only... You know,
that's the legacy.
That's my DNA. You know, you can't just destroy it. You can't get rid of it. You know, like, this is his brain going full on fucking. He's no longer reasonable.
Yeah, he's gone. And he has this kind of strange idea that he'll, like, crossbreed his DNA with hers and the babies, and that will somehow save him.
I gotta be honest, at this point his body's already well past done. You know what I mean? Even if he can be like stabilize it so it doesn't keep going, it's like, you don't want to be like that anymore, man.
Yeah, nobody's
You don't want him anymore. I mean, most people would have got out of this game long before you get to the final four.
Yeah.
Most people would have been like, fucking hell, I'm done.
Yeah.
Like, Jesus Christ, I'm falling apart. It's like, I'm either going to the hospital or I'm done.
Just jumping.
You know what I mean? And he realizes that no hospital can help him anyway.
Yeah.
It's like, at this point, it's like, fucking hell, you would have shot yourself long before it got real.
You just fucking, not
too early, but that scene when she walks back into the apartment level, that's the point when it's like, to be honest, I'm surprised she didn't just strangle him out.
Yeah, she
didn't
just mercy kill.
When you said, would you hug him, my first thought was, no, I would kill him.
I would help him.
I would just give him, maybe I'd give him a hug, but midway through I'd, like, snap his neck.
Yes.
Because I can't imagine, it's not that, like, although he was muscular at one point, now he seems like he's pretty easy to like break his bones.
Yeah.
And that's the weird bit, that he goes from, like, it helps him go muscular, like he's Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Like Tobey Maguire when he gets the muscles after he gets bit. But, you know, that kind of thing. But he helps him go muscular, and then his body goes deteriorating down, changing into that fly form. And it's just, you know, it's like at first it builds up his body to then break it back down again. Goes peak male to fly male.
To fly boy.
Fly
boy. Well, then, you know, so obviously Brundlefly kind of abducts Gina Davis. And that's where Stathis is like, I'm going to go in with a shotgun and I'm gonna take Brundlefly out. I'm going to be the big hero. That's when we get the great scene where, you know, he melts Stathis's hand and then he melts his legs. And it's so good.
But obviously now you realise that it was deserved.
Now I'm like, it's deserved.
I mean, I'm not sure anyone deserves that.
But now I don't feel bad.
I think he's a pretty asshole character to the point of you're like, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
You know, and also, you know, you kind of deserve this, and you were going to try and off him and take everything, so yeah.
Yeah.
Even though I do believe that he is in the fly too. I think he's back in the... He doesn't die, does he?
He doesn't die, no.
No, I think he's back in the fly too. He's taken the... He does end up getting it. In the fly too, I believe
he's the baby daddy.
Not to say that the fly is in, because obviously Cronenberg does not count the fly too as part of his... His continuation of his. And Gina Davis didn't want to have any part of that either, so...
Well, I think they... I'm sure I read that they used her birth scene as the opening scene of the
I think they reused footage, but she didn't want to have any part of it because she was like, no, I don't want to do any of that stuff again. And she didn't... I think it somewhat left a bad taste in mouth, some of it. Like, of this
maybe,
kind of somewhat left a bad taste. Some of the body horror was just a bit much for her. Like, she didn't quite realise she was signing up for
grotesque.
You know, which she should have. It's Cronenberg. It's a brutal, not full-offing, but exactly what deserved. But it's also just, again, you know, every scene you've seen with Gina Davis, the heartbreak you feel for her of, like, the fact that this... is someone that she actually truly began, you know, loved. And just seeing him, and the fact that he, at first he just rejects her once he becomes it, you know, he rejects her like his night, and she doesn't really completely understand why, she just knows that it's done something to him.
Yeah.
She knows he's gone through, so she knows it's related to that, it's got to be, you know. But at first it's like the rejection, but then it's like, oh my God, it's just like the pity and the loss that they've had, and what they could have had and what they've lost. Which is why building that character up so well in the beginning works here. And just that, you know, when she gets this and she's just like, Jesus. And then, I mean, it's the ending I do think is truly like when he's at the point when he is this full on.
Yeah, when she rips his jaw.
Little headed, you know, he had the jaw coming off and hell.
Because she rips the jaw off and then it's almost as if like the jaw wasn't even necessary.
Yeah,
like he then starts to like transform into like that little bug head fuck, you know.
The proper he just falls apart. That's when his whole like body kind of properly goes to become that.
Yeah,
you know, out comes I guess the fly, the proper
fucking
fly.
It's amazing. It's so gross. It's so well done.
It is, you know, just that level of, you know, he looks like he's dipped in barbecue sauce.
that's what they did. They were just like, we've spent all our budget, now we have to just like cover him in naan bread and barbecue sauce.
Yeah. Fun fact, Jeff Goldblum really turned himself into a fly for this role.
Yeah, he did.
He literally shaved his whole body down and had his whole skull reshaped to be this little final version of the fly. He's like, that must be all of it.
His bone distended and all sorts.
But no, obviously, there's no goblin left there. It's a puppet. it's an animatronic kind of puppet kind of thing.
Yeah.
But it's just the fact that mainly this thing only lives to the fact he's got to this point for him to basically like put the gun against his own head and be like, you need to. Doesn't say it. But
when he still kind of tries to get her. You see, he kind of pushes her into the tidal pod, doesn't he? And then he puts himself in the other one. And he begins the countdown. And then Stathis actually, you know, comes back and he shoots the tidal pod. He gets her out.
Yeah.
And then I think he breaks out of his pod as it's kind of open.
Yeah, this is when he's still somewhat... Not human, but that's before the last change, though, isn't
it? No, this is after the last change.
Is it? I thought the rest of his jaw skull falls off, and then he's like that sad prophetic like leftover.
I always thought that, and I forgot about this, but then what actually happens is it's really weird. He ends up fusing with a part of the tetrapod and all the cables. So then you get like this Brundlefly, which is also like half cybernetic. So like the lower his legs are gone. Yeah. It's been replaced with like a fucking keyboard. He's got like a mouse coming out of him, you know, and he's like fucked. And that's when he crawls over to them, and he puts the gun to his head and he's just like, fucking do it, you know?
Yeah. But I don't know why I blanked on that part there.
I always do as well.
Between that bit,
I seem to remember the final change.
It's only because I do remember actually the fly getting more action. It seemed like, I guess more because the design, it looks like it couldn't do much.
Yeah.
It looks like you'd just be able to swat that bitch down. But not that it's not scary, but it's like in its own kind of horrific way.
Yeah.
Horrific body form way. But it doesn't look at the time like it's going to have the power to push people around, you know what I mean? Like, but yeah, I begging her, begging her to put him out of his misery is a pretty of a heartbreaking, that's why I compared it with American Werewolf, like that final, like shooting him to death at the end when it's like, but I guess the difference is American Werewolf, you thought maybe there's a chance that you could come back from this because you do still go into a human form, but this one you're like, there's no way.
Even then you know that there's no way.
No, there's no way, that's what I mean. But your brain you sometimes watch certain films and you're like, I want this to go out the way it is because I know what a good film it is, but I kind of sometimes once in a while you're like with a character you're like, kind of wish you just don't.
Wish you didn't die, yeah.
Can I watch it this one time and it doesn't happen? You know what I mean? It's like changing it in your head, like editing it. It's like the one time you want to watch American Werewolf and be like, this one time he doesn't die in the alley. He just gets to go and live on and he gets to be free.
He gets to go and be an American Werewolf in Paris. Yes.
There's the nice philosophical, like, that's how we want to re-edit things. We want to be able to just go, I'll get my happy ending this one
just
time.
Just this one time.
And then the rest of life can be shit.
Yeah, and then as soon as his credits are done, it's
done. And that's it. One day I'm going to come home and I'm going to watch that ending and then it'll be like, you'll hear a message from like God. I granted your one wish.
Yeah.
You now get the happy ending of American Werewolf. Shit, I should have wished for something.
Yeah, what did I...
Why was that my one wish?
And you only get to watch it once.
Yeah,
so you can't show it to anyone.
He's like... I didn't even pay a fucking attention to it. I was too busy looking at you. It ended.
Yeah, I wasn't even watching.
Did I rewind it? No, what?
You rewind it, it's the same one.
Yeah.
It's dead. Yeah.
He's dead forever. But yeah, and as I said, Gina Davis is fantastic in this final scene of just, Jesus, like, having to put the person you love out of their misery and having
so
to see what he's become in this creature and being like, what the fuck has happened here? Like, what has happened? Like, Jesus Christ, how has this happened? And, I believe he's still got a machine that actually works.
Yeah.
You know, he's still got a pod that could change the world or whatever. But, you know, at this point, it's like, who gives a shit?
Yeah,
he's dead and no one's really going to want to test it because they're going to think they're all going to become that weird thing.
Yeah, nobody wants to be it.
Yeah, who's going to take the body? But that's the thing. But it kind of comes to this, and there's a lot of things that could be, you know, unpacked or added onto, or people would have kind of gone a little bit further, like what she does next. But in the classic kind of style, it's just like,
Yeah.
It's over, guys. He's dead.
Done, mate.
You know, Goldblum's dead. There's no film to show now.
Yeah, what are we going to show you? No, he's dead. But it's the thing of like everybody, nobody comes out of it really a winner, do they? You know, Stathis has his fucking arms and feet melted. Gina Davis has just fucking blown
dead out with baby.
And she's with child.
So you don't know what's going to happen with that left open.
Tawny, the woman from the bar is probably with child as well.
Yeah, also. Dude's got half an arm.
Yeah, dude's got half an arm.
Somewhere.
Yeah, his wanking hand is gone as well. So he's going to be a lefty for the rest of his life. He can't even beat off in fucking comfort. You know, he's got to adapt to that. He has the worst fate of all of them. You know?
That truly is the saddest of endings.
The saddest of endings. He looks at his hand, his stomach. It's my beating arm.
Yeah.
Tense.
But
it's such a classic, man.
It is. You know? I mean, This is actually Must See Horror, so we aren't meant to grade this as fake.
It is, and I'm going to consult the social media lounge whilst we
go
We discuss. I don't feel like
we've really said a bad word against it. I mean, as I said at the beginning, yes, maybe for some people there's more you could delve into. There's more, there's more that people might like to have seen the transformation have maybe a little less pace to it and get to see a little bit more of him. But again, it is that one thing, it would be overdone. I think Cronenberg has not only made a remake that is a great film, I think he's also made a really tightly edited, well-made film. And I think it's possibly, for me, of all the Cronenberg films I've seen, it's the easiest to watch. And it's one of those where I forget, every once in a while, when I revisit a classic film,
yeah,
and I forget how much actually it really is good. What I mean? How good it actually really is. It's like when I at university, I did The Shining for one of my things for my dissertation, and I had to watch parts of those films for ages. And for some reason, I got to the point where I was like, "This is such a slow film," and then I rewatched it, and I was like, this is really pacey. This isn't as slow as I thought it was. Actually, I don't feel like I'm watching a slow... Yeah. Not saying it is. It is meant to be slow in that way the film is.
But it doesn't
actually
feel
watching slow. It didn't feel slow. Actually, I remember really loving every second. I was like, actually, I didn't realise how much of a classic. It's like it just suddenly clicked in my head. And I think that's what happened last time I watched this. I was like, this is fucking great.
Yeah.
I'm just enjoying this. There's not many parts, that there's, some people will take question with the boss and with how he acts once he is a little bit rapey fly at the beginning, when he first gets his powers. But, but that's all in context of the film. And it makes sense within context of the film, and would nowadays as well. It would still make sense that, he's not in control of it kind of thing. So you can get away with anything. It's like being president of the United States. If you're Donald Trump, you can just get away with
it. Just shirk responsibility.
Grab whatever pussy you want.
Yeah, grab whatever pussy you want, man. Just shirk responsibility.
I didn't expect to go there in this episode.
No. But no,
how about you?
I agree. I think it's such a... a lot is always said, obviously, about the special effects and the body horror of it, which is, it's pinnacle. It's up there with... with The Thing. It's up there with stuff like that, with just incredible, body horror. But then there are things such as the performances, which I think are often understated. It's got a really solid cast despite being quite small. The soundtrack is kind of really... I didn't quite expect it maybe to have quite as a big and bombastic soundtrack. When it's an 80s film and it's a body horror, you expect it maybe to have a bit more of a sci-fi or a quirky one, but it's got quite a classic kind of monster movie.
I feel like it definitely must be inspired by the original. Like the original must have a very similar, especially to that opening theme. I feel like that, it sounds so classic that it sounds like something that would be in a 50s horror, so I feel like that must have been taken from there. Mm. Again, we can't talk about that too much. Maybe when we see that film, we can compare a little bit better.
But then it's also, it's also surprisingly, tragic, I think you go into it expecting just oh, I'm just going to get, a body horror. And maybe we spoke about The Fly 2. And maybe that is a bit more what people expected with this film. It's a bit more like, he turns into a fly, he kills people. As opposed to it being a slower burn, it being a lot more character driven, and it kind of being about man versus himself and man playing God, the themes there are good, and it's is it must see horror? I think it is straight off the bat.
I didn't feel like coming into it there was too much of a question. I mean, there's a reason most people see this as one of Cronenberg's, for some people his best film, kind of thing. Other people would say some of his other stuff, but it's
snappy as well. Never feels boring or overstated.
It's weird when you say slow burning, you say it's actually quite quick, but it is it lets its characters breathe, lets the story play out, and it only tells the story it needs to tell.
Yeah,
it doesn't overcomplicate it, and again, even with characters, it doesn't throw in millions of characters just for the sake. And it also doesn't throw in... this is why this one's very much falls in it's a sci-fi, but it has horror elements kind of thing.
Yeah,
because it does you know, it really does more focus sometimes on like the science of it and how it's working that way and how it changes him and how it changes people around him, instead of being like, right, here's the next person he's going to go out and kill because he's become a murderer. See, and again, it's another way it could have been taken.
That's what you expect, you know?
Yeah, someone, basically, it's like that. It's like, so he does this, he does it, and he starts becoming this murderous, evil creature that starts hunting people, you know? Yeah. And you could have gone that, you know, that's what you would have got. And I think when I looked at some of the cancelled ones, I think there were some of them were kind of like that. There were some of them sounded like they were going to be a bit more action-y kind of thing. It's like Predator. The Fly.
The Fly.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like Fly Predator. Although at the same time on that, I learned that Cronenberg has an idea for a sequel that he's got an idea for. He was just like, if they let me make it, then I'll make it kind of thing. So
yeah,
that's kind of interesting that you've got that in there. Like, that you might want to bring it back together. But yeah, I think that was almost 10 years ago that he said that. So I feel like that's dead and gone.
Yeah,
I feel like he's past that now. As he's older in age. He's still making films, obviously.
I wouldn't be surprised if this got a remake. You know.
Yeah, the Twilight. A Fly. That's what I mean. Yeah, it's The Fly in this era. I'm almost surprised it's gone this long. How they're mining IPs nowadays.
Yeah.
I'm surprised there isn't. You know, Disney Plus hasn't decided to make a Disney Plus exclusive The Fly or something. Yeah. Gina Davis returns in a partial cameo for like 2 minutes in the middle of a film that has little to do with the original plot.
And Eric Stoltz looks at the camera for a minute and says, like, why don't you buzz off? Or something like that, you know, when they ask him something. And then you don't see either of them again. Yeah. And at the end,
Jeff Goldblum makes an appearance, even though he shouldn't make an appearance. No, it's like a flashback.
That's the after credit sequence.
Yeah.
It's like,
I'm still alive.
He steps out of the box. Got
this. I want to build a team.
Yeah, it's like, I want to build a team. This is like a team of flies.
How are you alive? I had maggots.
Yeah, I had maggots. But I think it's just a great film, and it's snappy. It never, for me, it never felt boring, and it moved at a pace a steady enough pace that you never felt kind of bored, or that the film was running out of steam, or that there were particular filler scenes. And it's still, you know, enough that it's still character driven enough that you care for the core cast, so that by the end of the film, you kind of think it's pretty fucking heavy, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it does deal with quite a few good themes in there. Did you have any social media lounge?
No social media lounge.
That's dead for this week, then.
Dead for this week.
Make sure you bring us more of your ideas. If you've got any ideas on the fly, then make sure you come and tell us about it. Now that you wrap up.
Well, that is our thoughts on David Cronenberg's The Fly and our little foray into another must-see horror. And we are both on the same side, so there is no civil war at the present time. But come and let us know your thoughts on The Fly, and if you think it is a must-see horror. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at CMTHpodcast. Please remember to leave us a lovely review and hit that subscribe button. We spent a week in the top 50 film history charts in Apple UK, which is pretty fucking class. So please make sure you keep us in there. Or we might die of not. Of,
you keep us in there. You keep us in there.
Yeah, we'll come and get you.
Don't ever stop listening.
We'll see you next week. Bye bye.